Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Let's Talk. This is Cecilia. You know, I am so grateful. God is so good. I love how the word reminds us that his mercies are new every morning. Welcome to Let's Talk. Once again, this is Cecilia. And of course, we're on the line with an awesome woman of God as well, Minister Sheila Kaiser. I thank God for her. I thank God for each and every listener. And I thank God for how we work together as one family and one unit, not only biological-wise, but spiritual-wise, because we love the Lord. Minister Sheila, can you go ahead and start us off with prayer and whatever the Lord is giving you?
Good morning. Just want to say thank you, Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and to all the listeners. And I want to thank God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for our Father and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus. Well, God, due to you, we are here another day. I thank you, Lord, for waking us up, blessing us for another day, another birthday of this year and this month that you and only you gave us the grace and mercy and your love to be here. Lord, I thank you for each and every person. I thank you for Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright. Excuse me, I thank you for each and every person on this earth. Excuse me. Thank you for my sons, my daughters, my sisters, my brothers, my granddaughters, my grandsons, and I thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for the neighbors, the other saints and ministries. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you. I can't thank you enough. I thank you for this government. Bless them. Let them understand that they are in these offices. They are in these departments for all people. Not some people, all people, no matter what your race is, no matter what your color, what your religion, what your sex is, you are here for each and every human being that this Lord has on this earth, in this United States. You are here to govern for the people, try to fight and to feed and to nourish the people. Lord, I thank you and I ask you to bless all the kids that's going to school. Since the weather is about to break, Lord, I need you to cover them, to remove all these demons and devils from them, to stop them from killing and hurting each other. Lord, we need your help. We need your help to bless all the young men and young ladies. Just bless each and every person, every male, every female. But the crime and the demon and the devils these days don't have no age on it. They're going from the elderly to the babies. But we need your help. We need you to bless us all and to make us all straight and to let us know we're only for you. The right life is through you. But I thank you, and I thank you, and I ask you to bless us all that's traveling over the highways, to going to home or from home or wherever their destination is. Lord, we need you to bless us all and to lead us in the right manner, to let us know that you are the true and the only one with the life of help and not hurt. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Apostle-elect Celia Kaiser.
Hey, Dan. Thank you, Minister Sheila. As you know, this program, this service that we do unto the Lord every, Sunday morning, even what we do on Monday nights, and even how the Lord blesses us also to present and provide a program on Friday nights. It's all to the glory of God, and it's all to remind us about the consistency of God, the love of God, the transparency of God. But I think many times we forget about his sovereignty. Not just that he's everywhere and that he's all-knowing, but we forget about the power of God. When was the last time you became anxious about something or someone? Just think about it. Remember, this is less talk. So when was the last time that life, the cares of life, appear to be bigger and greater than what you could deal with or what you thought should be, or just appear to be so great that it caused you to maybe you would say, well, I didn't doubt God. I knew that God was still in control. But did your heart become overwhelmed? Did you start to worry about the situation, the people, the circumstances, whether it's on your job, whether it's in the classroom, in your home? How many people are struggling and looking at relationships with anxiety? How many people are dealing with their jobs? Whether it's people that work for you or that you work with or people that are over you, and it seems like they're greater, or their ability to control what happens in your life and for your life is so great. Because sometimes, whether we realize it or not, we tend to act like people and situations are greater than God. We tend to go to this sister, this brother, this aunt, this uncle, this cousin, this counselor, this person, this supervisor, this teacher, this friend, and we go to get their counsel. And there's nothing wrong with that. But did you go to God and say, God, I believe, but help thou my unbelief? It appears that this or that, or he or she, whatever the situation is. And God, I know that you're greater, so I have to learn to accept what you allow. And not only that, God, I have to learn how to come before you and be honest and transparent with you about these cares of life and these people and these situations that appear to be great. And God, I repent, for I know that none are greater than you. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you an expected end. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Isaiah 45:6-7 says that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Okay, let's read it in these other verses to read it all out. Verse 6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, that there is none beside me, and I am the Lord, and there is none else. And verse 7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And another version says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Because, see, sometimes our heart seems to be overwhelmed with the cares of life. Sometimes we forget that we have to allow the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the intercession of Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father to minister to us, to minister to us in every area of our lives, to heal us where we're doubting, to comfort us where we're anxious. We must know that we know that we know that ultimately, in the end, in the beginning, in the middle, all surrounding it, God is in control. And God is warning us about fearing what man can do, what situations can do, what circumstances can do, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, it's not greater than God. Hallelujah. Nothing is greater than God. I know. It seems like sometimes that situation, that circumstance is greater than God, but it's not. God is sovereign. He's a keeper. He keeps his promises. He's a covenant God. That person, that situation, that circumstance that's trying to make you doubt God. No, that supervisor ain't, it's not greater than God. No, they ain't. I'm going to say ain't. No, they are not. Is not. Whatever you want to say, no, they ain't. They are not greater than God. That infidelity is not greater than God. That anger is not greater than God. That insecurity is not greater than God. That financial situation is not greater than God. That gang, that group of people, that peer pressure is not greater than God. That vanity, that pride, that lust of life, that lust of the flesh, that pride of life is not greater than God. See, I'm going to be transparent with you. Sometimes you can be at work, and you can be dealing with all type of microaggressions, and that's just basically someone that's learned how to master what is prejudice, or they're ignorant to their own prejudice. Because some people don't like you just because you're black, just because you're a woman, just because you're tall, just because you're short, just because you got hair, just because you don't have hair, just because you got brown eyes, just because you got blue eyes, just because you're knock knees, just because you're bow leg. I mean, I could go on and on. Some people don't like you just because of what somebody else said, or the confidence that you carry yourself with. Oh, that beautiful smile that everyone wished they could be as happy as you. But God, Jesus was mocked, beaten, and spit upon for every one of us, and yet he bore it all because of love. The love of God is greater than any situation, than any circumstance that any of us deal with. But I know the cares of life sometimes can appear to be so great. Death, dealing with death, can appear to be great because of the sadness, can appear to be something that you just won't get past. That broken heart can appear to be something you just can't get past. That health condition, that change in situations and circumstances, financially, emotionally, physically, biologically, spiritually, can appear to be greater than God. Think about that. Did you think about it? Do you need more time for a Selah moment? Did you even consider the greatness of our God? He formed this world. He created this world. He sent his ministering angels to minister to us throughout our lives, even when we weren't in a relationship, intimate relationship with him. The prayers of our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts, our uncles, our granddaddies, our pastors, intercessors. You know, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. There is no greater intercessor than Jesus. God is still in control. I found myself on this week praying because of different situations and circumstances that were arising. And I found myself acting like that situation was greater than my God. You know, I repented. I began to praise God for his awesome power. I began to thank God and to be grateful for the fact that I'm his. I'm his creation. I'm his handiwork. He loves me unconditionally. I began to, as one of the great instructors that I had this past week, when I went to one of the headquarters of the UPS, the postal office system has this great kept secret where they do a lot of training at. It's called the Boulder Center. It's in Potomac, Maryland, a great, great, great kept secret. Beautiful grounds, just phenomenal place where people that work at the post office go to training at. And while I was there, not only did I learn a lot and love looking at the, you know, the deers, the rabbits, and the beautiful grounds, I learned something that I didn't know about myself that a total stranger showed me how to appreciate. He said, Cecilia, he says, you're a 20,000 feet K person. And I said, huh? He says, yeah, you're a 20,000 feet person. And I thought to myself, what is he talking about? He began to explain it to me. He says, you're that person that you look at life and you look at the cares of life and you look at the situation that you're in and you're able to look back over the course of your life and find the things to be grateful for. He said, you look over your life and find the things to be thankful for. He said, it doesn't mean that things aren't happening that you may not be happy with or that may not be going just the way you need them to go. He says, but you look back and there can be 100 things to look at. And if there's only 3 to be grateful for, he said, you'll do it. And I said to him, I said, that's because I pray and I realize that I have to accept what God allows. And not saying that the other 97 things didn't exist, but it was saying that I serve a God that's greater than all 97. And the God that I serve will strategically change the other 97. And if by chance he doesn't, it's because he's using them to make me better. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So if, because God's thoughts are not my thoughts, and neither is my ways his ways, saith the Lord. And because he also promises that, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, that's what the word of God says. He says, even in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, that's a promise from God that reminds us God is still in control. And that although I might not understand what's going on, and in some cases I might not even like it, I'm able to be honest with God, to let God know, God, I need your favor to go before me, to go with me, and even to return when I return. I can go before God and let God know, God, I need the favor of the king. I need the favor of the queen. I need the favor of the people in the court. I need the favor of the people on the terrace. I need the favor of the people looking over things from the balcony. I need the favor of the people in the White House. I need the favor of the people in the mayoral office, the mayor's office. I need the favor of this committee or that committee. God, I need the favor of the people that I work for, that work with me and that work for me. God, I need the favor of God in every area of my life. God, I can't make it without the favor of God. See, when we come before God and we let him know that we don't take our situations and our circumstances for granted, because we know that God is in control. And since God is in control, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that his ways are higher than our ways, and that the will of God is what's most important, Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, when she was told that she would birth Jesus. When Jesus knew that he had to go unto the cross and he went to pray so that he would be able to be our Savior, he said, not my will be done, but yours. When we walk in a posture of not my will, but your will be done, talking to God, when we walk with a posture of be it unto me according to your word, talking about God, we learn that it's not always going to be stuff that feels good, that looks good, that we would really choose to do. But if God can get you to a place where when people see you, you learn that they don't like you, the same reason they didn't like Jesus, because of the love of God that's in you, I'm going to be transparent again. I found out during this training, again, something else about myself, that I'm a person of inclusion, meaning that I don't like for people to be left out. So if I'm in a room and I may know that somebody knows something and they're expert on something, but then this person who has to be in the spotlight, always trying to be seen, always trying to be heard, whether it's because they're insecure or they think they know everything. They're so, as we used to say back in the day, so suchy-muchy. And I will try to make sure that everybody is included in the room, whether it's in a discussion or in a celebration or whatever it is. But don't get me wrong, if people don't want to be included or they're acting whatever kind of way, after a while I will leave them alone and allow them to have their wishes. But see, sometimes people are acting like they don't want to be included when they actually do. So because that's a strength of mine, and also another strength of mine is relationships. I love to have close relationships with the people that I love, like my family. I love my family. Even the ones that don't love me or the ones that may lie on me, backstab me, or whatever, I love them. I have some people that I call messy. That's in my family, They're not really in my close circles. I have to be honest. If you're messy, you're usually not in my circle. And the reason why is because God has been too good to me, and I'm going to pray for you afar off for me to waste the God-given time that God has given me all the time trying to deal with your stuff when there's other people over here that deserve to be appreciated. They deserve to be loved. I was talking to someone on yesterday, and they were talking about how someone on their job, how messy they are, but they have a Bible on their desk, and they're supposed to be a Christian. I said, well, see, the good thing about everything, even concerning that, if you look at it, that eventually if they keep reading the word of the Bible and the verses that's on their desk, if they keep praying, or if others keep praying for them, eventually they will start to be Christ-like. Because, see, people have defined Christianity as going to church or being religious. But Christianity is being Christ-like. So as he works on us, and as his Holy Spirit, talking about God, gives us the revelations of the mysteries of God, and we spend more time with God, and we become more intimate with God, we may not even notice, but we'll be changing from the inside out. We'll be easier to love, and we'll be people that are give love easier, whether it's merited or not. You know that unconditional love that God has for us, and he's teaching us how to have it for one another, our children, our spouses, our siblings. You know, because like it or not, love is work. I know you thought that like or that lust or whatever you was dealing with was easy. I didn't say that wasn't easy. I said love is work. When they're doing you right, when they're doing you wrong, you got to love them. Have you had people that may have worked for you or that you worked with or that you worked with that just didn't cover you, just didn't do right by you, but God would not allow you to do them wrong? Sometimes you even thought about it. We've even thought about it, how you want to do this or that to get someone back. But God did not allow it. Just like he didn't allow that person to do what they wanted to do to you, that it turned on them. I love how we hear the word of God that says he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. The key is he prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. One more time. The key is he prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So who got to be at the table? Enemies. He didn't say friends. He prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. See, that's a hard pill to swallow, that you thought you were going to have a table set before you in the presence of your enemies and didn't want your enemies to act like an enemy. That's a whole nother message. Matthew 6 and 34 says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, which, you know, it means tomorrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Proverbs 16 and 4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And verse 9 says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. My. Thank you, God, for directing my steps. Job 12 and 10 says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. That's how much God controls. He not only controls your soul, but he has the ability to control the very breath that you breathe. Psalms 22 and 28 says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. See, God is still in control. Psalms 27 and 1 also reminds us that The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's say this again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? That situation, that circumstance, that person, those people, you're not to fear them. You're not to be afraid of them because God is still in control. He's your light. He's your salvation. He's the stronghold of your life. You know, because even when in the Bible when King David was going through a season of trouble, I mean, was going through where he was lacking, even as the king, confidence and not thinking that he was going to be triumphant. I mean, I said the king was worried. And God himself came to David to let him know not to be despaired about the cares of life and the darkness and all those things that was around him. The King of Kings, the Lord himself, ministered to him. The Lord himself will minister to you and I. See, God is an intimate God. He's not a far-off God. Yes, he'll send his ministering angels. Yes, he'll send his warring angels. Yes, he'll send us blessings, and he'll send us peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes, he'll send us joy unspeakable. But he's still an intimate, personal God, that he knows how to breathe on us. He knows how to speak softly to us and say, I love you, Sheila. Oh, Pinky girl, you know I got you. I got your back. Juan, I have told you over and over again, man, you're the greatest dad that your daughters could have ever received. That's the kind of God we serve. He's an encouraging God. He's a loving God. He knows how to give us the authority, which he's already given us, to tell that situation, get out. I command you to get out in the name of Jesus. I cast you into the desert dry places. I command you to be annihilated and destroyed instantly. For this enemy I see today, I will see no more. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And the authority that he has given us. Not because of we're so great, but look who's our daddy. To have God as your God, as your king, as your dad, as your mom, he's whatever we need him to be. We need an advocate, he's there. We need a counselor, he's there. We need a banner for victory and triumph. He's there. He needs for us to know that he is our refuge. He is our fortress. As a matter of fact, Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you hear what I said? The word of God declares that God is our refuge and our strength. And an ever-present help in trouble. See, he's not just there when we have peaceable times, but he's there even in the midst of trouble. Refuge means he's a safe place, meaning that he'll keep us safe. He'll keep us protected. Strength means that he's powerful. Nothing and no one. No fear, no situation, no people, no threat. Whatever it tried to come against you, physically, spiritually, biologically, however it tried to come, know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is still in control. And the best place to be is not only in his presence, is to be in a relationship with him. You know, ain't nothing like being able to call on God knowing that he'll be there. Back in the day, many people would call on my sister Sylvia Kaiser. She was one of those people that didn't mind fighting. Let's keep it real. She didn't mind fighting at all. And it was because she loved her family so much till she would go out there and fight the biggest guy, the smallest guy, whoever was messing with you, you could call on her. She took it upon herself. I don't believe she liked to fight. I really don't. I don't believe it was something that she enjoyed, but I believe it was something she was willing to do. Like God is willing to send his archangels to protect us, to cover us, to do whatever they need to do. He put that same type of tenacity in a minister, Sylvia. So she oftentimes would get called by nieces, nephews, cousins, whoever. I can honestly say I don't remember having to call her, but I can remember her being there. I can remember where she would just know something or some situation was happening, and she would be there. She would always say that her job was to protect me. Well, I do know that our parents had us where if you saw her, you saw me. We had to go everywhere together. And so although she knew that she felt that she had to protect me as my protector, she knew that it was nothing that I wouldn't do for her. For instance, we would go out to the restaurants to eat. Renee would never order her food. She, most of the time, I don't even know if she had money. She probably did, but she probably just wasn't going to spend it. So we would go out to eat, and she would just sit there, and everybody would be like, aren't you hungry? And she'd be like, mm-hmm. Are you going to order anything? No, I don't have to. Why? Because she knew that I always ordered enough or too much till I would give her either half of what I had, more than half of what I had. But she always knew, okay, so she's not going to finish her food, and she's going to get something that we both like, and she's going to share it with me anyway. So things like that, she knew that I would have her. She knew that if we were going here or there, and if I had a nickel, she could have half of it. But I also knew that some type of way we were connected in a way that even when I was in severe car accidents, she had a sense of knowing that something was wrong. The same way I did, I had a sense of knowing that something was wrong. So although we were a year apart, it was like we were connected spiritually where we could feel what was going on with one another. I remember how growing up and still now that was the case. Don't know why. So I gave that as an example that if God can connect you to a sibling that can sense what's going on with you. And even my parents were the same way about us. They could sense what was going on with us. How much more can God sense what's going on with us? Know what's going on with us because he's all-knowing. He knows it better than we know. And guess what? God is still in control. Psalms 115:3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own. Isaiah 45:7 says, I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. We read that earlier, remember? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Thank you for the ways of escape, Father God. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. See, all you got to do is think it, and it happens. And all you got to do is purpose, and it's established. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, that makes me think. He said, make your prayer and petitions with thanksgiving. Present them. Don't know how and why God blessed me to be able to bring things before him with thanksgiving, even in the midst of things being done. Not that I'm always so peaceable, not that I'm always so positive, not that I'm so always not overwhelmed by the cares of life, not that I'm so always not concerned about this or that, but saying that God loves me so much, and I know that he does, that I purpose and I try hard to make sure that I don't allow any cares of life, any type of anxiety to imprison me. But I reject that anxiety. I reject that imprisoning thought. I reject that worry. I reject that thing that would try to make me think that it's greater than God. Because, see, I can't risk a constant thought that would try to make me lose faith in God, in the perfection of God. He's great. Like I said, what is that thing? What is that situation that will make you think that it's greater than God? 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Psalms 94:19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. See? Bring it to God. Luke 12:22-26, do not worry about life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than a bird? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Let's remember to cast our cares upon the Lord. Let's remember to trust in his wisdom. Let's remember to reject and cast out in the power and the authority in the name of Jesus and according to the word of God anything that will try to make us think that it's bigger or greater than God. That's all I have, Minister Sheba.
Okay, I thank you for the words, and thank you for the encouragement, and I ask you, excuse me for the background noise, but I just want to ask and ask everyone that's listening, however you listening, is to don't wake up in the morning, don't go through the day without saying, God, I thank you. Son, Lord Jesus, I thank you, because they are the reason. God and the Son is the reason that we wake up each every morning, that we're still able to function, that we still have eyes to see, ears to hear, legs to walk, that so many don't have. Don't take for granted for what you have. Don't misuse what you have, because some wish they had what you had. But I thank each and every one for listening, and I ask you all to continue to listen to us each and every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I ask you to listen to on Sundays for Let's Talk. It's from 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Central Standard Time, and 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Iron Sharpened Iron. And on Friday nights, Let's Talk starts at, I think, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'd like to thank and ask and bless each and every one of us for listening and to let us know God is real and He is for us and all for us. Thank you.
Amen. So until tomorrow night with Minister Sheila and Minister Sylvia, with Iron Sharpening Iron, remember that we love you and that there is nothing, no one, no situation greater than God. And we release the favor of God, the presence of God, the blessings of God, the anointing of God, the authority of God, the strength of God in every area of your life. Bye-bye. Remember St. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Bye-bye.